Suicide continues to be a major concern in the United States, especially among young people. In some younger age brackets, suicide is a major cause of death. In Oregon, the State Health Authority, the Oregon Health Authority, and the Department of Education are adding to programs of suicide intervention and prevention in local school districts. Those efforts include the nonprofit Lines for Life. Our guests are Jill Baker, the Suicide Intervention and Prevention Coordinator for OHA. Welcome, Jill.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, good. Good to have you. And Dwight Holton is with us as well, the CEO for Lines for Life, former acting U.S. attorney in Oregon, and last time he talked to us, a candidate for Oregon Attorney General. Been a while. Dwight Holton, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So we know what OHA is, so let's start with you and a sketch of Lines for Life.
Lines for Life is a nonprofit dedicated to preventing substance abuse and suicide and promoting mental wellness. We operate crisis lines that take calls from and help people in crisis from all over the state, and we do prevention work, working with schools and others to help communities work to prevent substance abuse and suicide.
So you're in schools already?
We are. We have a fabulous service called the Youth Line. It's a teen-to-teen crisis line supported by the state and many private donors and folks like Taco Bell and Les Schwab community members, where we have teenagers who take calls from other teenagers, texts, et cetera. It's been a super popular service during COVID.
Do you have some numbers you can give us? Well, we can mention these a couple of times through the course of the broadcast.
Absolutely. I think the number we probably want to highlight today is the helpline that the Oregon Health Authority has helped us launch through COVID, the Safe and Strong Line. It's 1-800-923-4357. That's 923-HELP. But you can also always find us at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-TALK, 273-8255.
273-8255. Yeah, we've talked about that one a fair amount. So the other one was 923-4357?
Yes, and you can always find all this stuff at linesforlife.org as well, of course,
all right.
On the web.
We have links to that as well from our website at jeffexchange.org. Jill Baker, give us some sense of the scope of the problem here. How common is suicide in young people?
Sure, we always like to start with saying one suicide is too many, for families who've gone through the hardest thing that possibly anyone could imagine with the death of a child by suicide is too many. So we won't stop until that number gets to zero. 2018 was a particularly terrible year for Oregon for suicide, especially in youth. It moved the cause of death to the leading cause of death for youth in 2018. And 2018 is the most recent final data that we have. We have preliminary data from 2019 and 2020 that we're not able to release definitively because it's not finalized data yet. But when the numbers came out for 2018, which came out in March of this year, we were able to let the legislature know about that. They reacted the way we wanted them to, and finally gave some sustainable funding for youth suicide prevention for the children of our state. And so since July of 2019, we've been hard at work bolstering programs like Lines for Life, but also many other programs around the state to make this a safer place for children to be against suicide. And so we anticipate our numbers getting better based on preliminary data, our numbers getting better in 2019 and in 2020 as well, even in the midst of the pandemic. And that speaks to something good that's happening with partners like Lines for Life and the Oregon Department of Ed, that folks are taking it seriously now. They know that we cannot have another year like 2018. It's just not an option.
So the support that the legislature gave, I mean, how big a change is this in what was previously doled out?
Well, the legislature has given, authority and mandates to do suicide prevention work, but has never given sustainable funding for it, especially in any age category, but also in youth suicide, which is my department. And so they allocated a little over $6 million for the biennium, so $3 million a year. And we've been able to do an incredible amount of work with that amount of money. And if you follow numbers from the legislature, that's a relatively small number to allocate to something so incredibly important. But it's the first time in Oregon's history that we've had sustainable funding. And so we were able to make some bold moves to be able to put some things structures in place statewide so that no matter where you live in Oregon, you have your community has access to suicide prevention programming, all the way from prevention to postvention after a suicide death, which is also an incredibly vital part of our programming.
So postvention after the actual suicide death, this is for the family then?
Yeah, family, school, church youth group, anything that's connected. In adolescence, after somebody that you know or feel connected to even dies by suicide, you're at an incredibly increased risk for a period of time after that. And so responding well with high quality, caring support is vital in that time to prevent more suicide deaths.
We're talking about youth suicide prevention and intervention here on the Jefferson Exchange with Jill Baker from the Oregon Health Authority and Dwight Holton from Lines for Life. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. You might have some questions to ask or some stories to share. And you are welcome to come in at 800-838-3760. That's our phone number, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Dwight Holton, talk about the construction of the teen-to-teen program and the things you've got going on at Lines for Life and how you've got a really more of a peer-to-peer effort going on.
Well, it's pretty incredible. The Youth Line started about 20 years ago and was just a small service that kind of plugged along for a while. And then something kind of remarkable started to happen about 6 years ago. 6 years ago, we were talking to about 11, 12, maybe 1,300 kids a year, and we had 9 student volunteers trained to help these kids who called. Then that number started to climb, and it was 3,500, and then it was 7,500, and then it was 10,000, and then it was 15,000. Last year, we talked to about 20,000 young people with the Crisis Line, the Youth Line, and we have had now about 145 student volunteers who are really remarkable in and themselves because they go through this nearly 60-hour training, and not only do they help us on the Crisis Lines, but they do engagement in schools when school's happening. And even beyond that, they serve their school as a kind of advocate for mental health and mental wellness. Everyone knows that this is the kid who serves the Youth Line. And we're looking to expand that program. We've had some really incredible contact in the last couple of days. Our high number of contacts in a single night was 91 about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And we had some unexpected traffic on TikTok, of all places, and all of a sudden we had 250 calls in one night, many more than we take on the rest of the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, for example. So that service is growing and growing. What that tells me, Jeff, is not that the need has spiked as much as that there's a real hunger for this service. So we're working really hard to make sure we get it connected up with people and get people, make sure we're there to answer calls, to connect with people by text, and to be helpful.
All right, so people are learning about it, but that is a spike. I mean, if you're talking about 91 contacts in one night and then 250 after that. So, I mean, was there some precipitating factor here that was in the air, or just the fact that more people were learning about it?
It was. We believe it was because a TikToker sent out with about 130,000 followers in precisely our demographic, this teen and young adult, sent out a tweet about this that just drove coverage like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a pretty
good thing. Again, what it tells me is there's a huge hunger for this kind of peer-to-peer crisis connection.
Right.
There are really not many people nationally doing this. There's us, and there's a place, an outfit in L.A. called Teen Line that we team up with. And, you know, the part of the package of what the legislature and the governor put forward last year was to support the Youth Line. The Youth Line we built with private funding. The part of what they supported was expansion of the Youth Line. So they're seeing results. It's great. And one of the other initiatives that came from last year was a tying together, really, of efforts in schools plus efforts in communities to help schools develop more effective suicide intervention plans. So the Oregon Health Authority teamed up with the Oregon Department of Education and with the community, including us, including organizations like Basic Rights Oregon, to support this effort so that we now will have a suicide prevention specialist from our operation working with schools and in communities to help communities all over the state develop suicide prevention plans.
All right, so I want to explore that a little further, but I want to come back to Jill and talk for just a second about the fact that some of this actually came under some names, I understand, in the 2019 legislature. Addie's Act and the Student Success Act both contained some suicide prevention intervention program funding and identification.
That's right. Addie's Act was sponsored by Basic Rights Oregon and Lon Staub, who was Addie's dad. Addie's a student from Portland who died by suicide, and Addie's dad advocated for, as kind of said enough is enough, advocated that Oregon needs to have something in place that mandates school districts have a suicide prevention, which is creating well students, intervention, which is recognizing when there's a problem, and postvention, which is knowing how the school will react after a suicide death. Oregon was one of only four states that didn't mandate that school districts have these plans until July of 2019. And so Lon, Basic Rights Oregon, and the Alliance to Prevent Suicide, and some courageous lawmakers got that passed. The Student Success Act, if you might remember, was this huge initiative for schools. One section of that, Section 36, spoke to school safety and both suicide prevention, bullying, cultures of school, and other safety precautions. Some mandates came from that. And so the reason that this program that Dwight just referenced is so unique, it's groundbreaking really, is because it ties together two massive state agencies, people who have experienced suicide loss, and just an incredible nonprofit that we have in our state. And everybody played well together and brought what they had to the table. And the result is something that I think will be a national model. It's an amazing structure that's going to create safety and save lives.
So Dwight Holton, Alliance for Life, actually is going to be the one hiring the student prevention wellness coordinators?
It's a team effort. So mm-hmm. what we'll do is we'll be hiring five people to provide technical expertise mm-hmm. to schools and school districts around the state as they hire people to be responsible for suicide prevention and school safety. And we'll work together to help them build a plan. It's based on an effort we developed with the Willamette Education Service District, which is a collection of school districts down in Marion and Lynn and Yamhill counties. And the way it works really is because we're an outside advocacy organization, we're able to kind of dig into community and link up in a way that sometimes you have silos between schools and health and other community advocate groups. The part of what we bring to the table is an ability to cut across all that because we're not a government agency. We can use our suicide prevention expertise to build across that. But we've seen really tangible results in the places where we've built this program. For example, we've developed a kind of step-by-step action plan for how to build your own school suicide prevention plan. That's a model throughout that district, and we'll take it statewide. And that step-by-step action guide runs the range from super simple things that you can do right now to things that'll take a little time and investment. So, for example, on the super simple side, school districts and schools and school administrators all over the state use social media regularly to inform people about prom, to make sure kids remember to bring their textbooks back at the end of the year. We've included sample tweets and sample social media posts, Instagram posts you can use around times of stress. Like, remember, exams are stressful. Here's help. Other districts have started in that area putting the Lines for Life youth line number on their student IDs. So students have that resource right at their fingertips all the time. On the more complicated end of the scale is figuring out how to hire and fund a suicide prevention coordinator full-time on your school. So kind of it's that full range of action items, and it's having results. You know, we've got many more kids. We're hearing from more kids in that part of the world. We are seeing trainings happening all over at schools throughout that part of the world to help adults and teens identify when someone's struggling, know what to do when they do identify someone and where to go. And that's the effort that we're taking statewide now. It's a proven effort that we're going to build out statewide.
We're talking about youth suicide here on the Jefferson Exchange with Dwight Holton from Lines for Life, a private nonprofit involved in the effort with the Oregon Department of Education and the Oregon Health Authority. So we also have from the Oregon Health Authority, Jill Baker, Suicide Intervention and Prevention Coordinator. What are your questions? What do you want to hear about that we haven't talked about so far? Or what stories do you need to share about youth suicide and perhaps your own brush with it? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jill, I'm going to guess that you already referenced the $6 million not being a huge amount of money, so it's not going to hire a lot of people, right?
Right. We are really good at making the dollar stretch in our program. And part of the thing that makes it unique is that being able to loop in nonprofits and existing suicide prevention efforts in local communities. So we're not pretending that we're coming in with something new. We're just trying to support what's happening in local communities already. So some communities around Oregon have really robust suicide prevention programming and trainings, and others haven't gotten started yet. And so one of the strategies that we took outside of the Lines for Life school program was something that we're calling the Big Six Suicide Prevention Programs. So we hired coordinators to kind of help communities with trainings from prevention. So Sources of Strength is one of those programs. It is an amazing program that teaches middle, high school, and college age students how to be strong and how to access strength even when life is not okay. That's been something that we've been able to keep active, and we had to adjust, of course, for COVID, but able to keep active through COVID. So all the way from prevention programming to the postvention and intervention programming. And those programs are available low or no cost, those Big Six. Low or no cost anywhere you are in the state of Oregon. We have equipped trainers and coordinators and folks ready to help enhance whatever is going on already in your local community.
And I have OHA's release on the Big Six program. So it's Sources of Strength, you mentioned already, QPR Institute, Safe Talk, USA Mental Health First Aid, Assist with one S in the first position, and Connect. I want to go back to QPR because the name itself is interesting. It's Question, Persuade, Refer. And I want to make it clear again, as we do every time we talk about suicide now, you do not make people take up the idea of suicide by mentioning it.
Oh, yeah. That's something that is a myth that's been busted so many times in research over the years. I think it speaks to discomfort that people have about suicide, that the word suicide often gets stuck in people's throats. And so you create all of these things, reasons why not to ask. But really, there aren't reasons why not to ask. And so if you can practice, know how to ask the question that sounds like you, that sounds genuine to you, so you don't have to use a magic phrase or a magic word, it just has to sound like you and has to be direct, then often that is the most protective thing that you can do for somebody that you love, is to ask the question. The persuade part of it is to say, thank you so much for telling me. This is a big deal. We need to get some extra help because I'm not sure how to help you through this. But you're important to me, and I know, and I'm willing to help you get the help that you need. And then refer is to connect them to somebody who can walk with them through whatever suicide activity they're experiencing.
So with the concern about the high rate of suicide in 2018, the last year, as you mentioned, for which there are complete figures, what are the concerns about 2018 with pandemic, with politics, with street unrest, you know, with all the things that are driving adults to get under a bed? What are teens going through?
In 2020, you mean?
Yeah.
I worry every day because it's my job to worry, because I'm a mother of four, because I love and know people who have chronic thoughts of suicide, that our risk factors are up in every category. And yet, even though our risk factors are up in every category, suicide numbers have not gone up during the pandemic in Oregon. And that's important, and I spend a lot of time thinking about that, about why that might be and what's protective about right now. And so we'll have lots of research studies and master's thesis papers on this topic, I'm sure, but One of the things that I know that we hear from young people that's protective right now is that there's this general feeling that nobody's okay right now, that it's okay not to be okay. There's not a stigma attached to being a hot mess one day or every day in a week. And there's something about having to find new ways to maintain your mental okayness, your mental health, that I wonder about, that we're adding to our arsenal of strengths right now, because we have to, that we have to lean into something else, that if it's too smoky outside because of the fires and I usually go for a walk to maintain my mental health, what am I going to do today to be okay? Now I just added another thing to my tool belt for when the sky's clear again and I'm able to go for a run. I think those things matter. And so I'm hopeful that as we enter the fall, and September, October, November is we almost always see a spike in suicide activity for youth annually, historically. And so I'm hopeful that we as adults and we as teenagers who care about it can lean really hard into those things that are protective about this really terrible time we're in.
Let me give the number again, 800-923-4357, 800-923-4357. Dwight Holton, we're in our last minute. Any final thoughts on how the rest of us can help with suicide prevention in local school districts?
You bet. Well, let me say first, I just want to add to what Joel said, that I think we're seeing a lot of hope in this time as we all reach out for our friends and neighbors. You know, I know I'm having Zoom calls with old high school friends I haven't seen in years. I think that's helping build that connection. You can get involved with your school. Check in with your local school or call us at Lines for Life. You can find the phone number on the website, linesforlife.org, and we'll be happy to help connect you in as well. There's a ton going on right now. The most important thing any of us can do, I think, is know that it's okay to ask the question. It's okay to need help and to help share that message.
All right. 800-923-4357. 800-923-4357. Lines for Life, a nonprofit working with the Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Department of Education. Thanks to Dwight Holton from Lines for Life and Jill Baker from OHA. Good to have you on The Exchange.